नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स। Okay, today our topic, Dhamma talk topic, is identifying the fundamentals for different successes. Well, as a human being, as a sentient being, beings look for successes. Success, what is success? Depends on how you define it. But whatever it is, it means that when you achieve something of a dream, something you wish for, when you wish for something, you admire something, you think this is worth achieving, and when you achieve, then you call it success. People, beings, usually have a nature of motivation to achieve some kind of success, small or big, great or mediocre. Successes is always something that people long for it. So today, we want to talk about successes, different type of successes, and what are the fundamentals. If you know the fundamentals, means the essential ingredients, essential factors required to achieve that success. If you know, then there's a chance to achieve. If you don't know, then difficult. Two things important. You can see in the Buddha's teaching, throughout the Buddha's teaching, two things are always important. Whenever the Buddha talk about any goals, any achievable aims, always these two things always are involved. What are the two things? One is the nature law, the Dhamma. Natural law. Because no one can achieve sustainable success without satisfying natural law. Not possible. Because nature works in such a way, it follows certain rules, certain ways. Even, let's say you want to build a pyramid. Yeah. You want to build a submarine. Yes, certain laws are in there. You want to, you know, grow a child. You know, there are certain things, food, you know, the child needs food, the child needs certain temperature, certain care. You know, these are, it involves everything. You want to make a handphone, yeah, certain nature law need to be fulfilled. And you want happiness. What more to say? If you want happiness, you want a good health. Yeah, you cannot avoid nature laws. So nature laws are involved. Then the second thing, conditions. If you have the conditions, then things can materialize. If you don't have the conditions, how? How to achieve something without condition? Even just a simple thing, you want to go, you know, now you want to fly to Singapore, you want to fly to America, you want to fly to China, you know? You need conditions. Such as money. Okay? You need money to do it. You need a good health to do it. If you don't have the good health, how can you do it? You cannot do it. So hard. You need the various conditions to do it. Okay. In this case, some very common conditions which almost involves all kind of human successes are like karma, good karma. Or we call merits, punya. And for the successes, spiritual successes, transcendental successes, the condition for it, the good karma for it, we call parami. So these are the conditions. You can make wonderful aspirations, but if you don't have the condition, the aspiration, the dream is empty. You cannot achieve. Okay? So these are two things. Now, let's look at what are the successes that beings or people look for. Basically, we can divide into two categories. One is one of the worldly success. Worldly. The other one is spiritual success or successes, as you say. What are the worldly success? Some people, they consider having a harmonious family, building a Buddhist family, harmonious family, success. Yeah, you cannot say it's wrong. Family is important for human life, family. And then some people think you need to have a successful career. You know, you do have a good job, good salary, good income. Yeah, and then you consider you have a sense of fulfillment, career. Okay? Be a CEO, be a manager, be a president. These are the career. Then some people, they will focus on their success is not about a career, but only money. Okay? Any career is good as long as I get good money. Okay? So money also is kind of success for people. How much money, how much wealth you accumulate. Then another type, some people, after they have the money, career, they want something more, prestige. You want to be higher than others, more respected than others, given higher status in the society, and being remembered for future generations. You know, I've contributed so much. The road is named after my name, you know, the road, you know, or the university is named after my name. Then you feel this achievement. Some people consider this as success. And some are different, like the scientists, some they want to leave behind a heritage for future generation to be remembered. Yeah, this is also heritage, which people remember you, people cherish you, consider, think good of you after you are gone. Now, some people care for this. Prestige is current life. You know, where now you enjoy all the attention, the approval, and then you feel the prestige. Heritage, you may not know, you don't know about it after you die, but you feel good, thinking that in future generation will remember me. Okay, that's heritage. You pass on the heritage to future generation. And to many people, common people, human relationship. When they have good human relationship, love, man and woman, boss and workers, you know, good friends. We consider this is success. Randy. Someone is joining my talk from somewhere hidden force. Okay. Worldly success. So there are all. Yeah, you can name it, You can name 1,000 such successes. People go for this success. But even for that, do you think you need to know how to do it? Some people, they want this success, okay. But, for example, some people would like to have a good, united, harmonious family. But do they know how to do it? You know? What makes a family good? That all the family members are united and harmonious with each other. You know why? Do you know? Very simple. You forget Dhamma leadership. When a family, I would consider a success and good family, is that you don't need to use the string or tactic to bind everyone together, but everyone naturally come together in a harmonious way. Right or not? If you have to bind each other, you know, someone will feel unhappy, so painful being loved. Then the family cannot be successful family. Good family means people come around naturally. Brother, sister come around naturally, happily. And what makes it so? Very simple Dhamma leadership principle. When you join the family or be part of the family and be with the family, you feel good. You feel better. You feel uplifted. And without the family, you feel lonely and unhappy, and or maybe not as happy as when you are in the family. Then naturally, you like the family. Very simple. Isn't it so? Human relationship, all like that. Organization also, Dharma also the same. That's why we make it a principle that we would like to organize ourselves in such a way that people feel enriched, uplifted. When they join Dharma Earth, they feel their life get enriched when they come into Dharma Earth. They come much better off. That makes them willingly, happily come in and join. We don't use tactic to buy people, to catch people. No. We just try to make people's life be more worthy, more valuable, more meaningful. They feel better with joining because we provide something worthy and beneficial for their life. Very simple. For someone who wants to build a family, they want their family to be good, they want their children to be good, then if they know the principle, what makes a family as a good family is the way the family is organized and treat the members are treated in such a way that everyone becomes better off, you feel better, you feel your life better all the time because of the family. As a place where you get comfort, you get solace, and when you're in hard time, you come back, that's a place where you always can rely on, something like that. So that makes a good family, that people want to stay. Naturally, the children will want to come back to see the parents, The parents also like to stay with the children. Husband and wife, they work together, they live together, without thinking that, oh, so hard, But you find this doesn't occur to every family. To many families, the husband control the wife control the husband, this and this and this. Then you feel, wow, so hard being loved. Because they don't know how to love. They love with a selfish mind. That makes a family difficult. That's it. So if you know the principle, then just work along the principle. Then you get a good family. Just like in our recent Mangala family camp. What is our slogan? May meeting you empower your life to greater heights. Yeah. 让你因为遇到我而更好. If the children think like that, if the parents think like that, if the husband thinks like that, if the wife thinks like that, that makes a good family. You just need to make other people's life better with your presence. That's it. But with selfishness, they spoil a family. People divorce. Why? Because they don't know how to love. They love with a selfish mind. They love their family members like they're loving their pets. Basically, pets have no life of their own. They live the life of their owners. You see or not? So that's how many a family gets degraded. The value of family life get degraded. Because they don't understand the fundamentals for a good family or successful family. That's what we are teaching here by Mangala Family Camp. Similarly for career. Many people, have you heard of someone? People say, wow, my boss is not fair, promote someone else and not me. Why don't you give me a chance? I want to be a manager. I've worked so long here, forever a supervisor and not a manager. And the latecomers become promoted as a manager. People feel so emotionally imbalanced, jealous, unhappy. They feel belittled by their boss. Actually, very simple for successful career. anyone who wish to be promoted. If you are always make yourself more than qualified for your job, the job that you handle, you are doing, perform it better than what is required. You are more prepared beyond your current job. Someone will find out and hunt you out and promote you to high, greater heights. Very simple. But instead of working on the courses to make yourself more qualified, people want that status. I want this position without making yourself a better person, more capable, more competent. You don't work on the courses. There's like all the imbalanced psychological problem happen. You never see any boss don't like to see their subordinates having great capabilities. No. Everyone, boss would like that. If you have more capable, why not? You know, that means the business or whatever can perform better. Very simple. The success means you just, for your career, just be more qualified. Just train yourself, educate yourself more than what the job requires. That's it. Then you reach that. That's all for career. And for money, yes. People always want to work for money. They want to earn more. What is the fundamental principle for earning money? Deliver values. If you keep delivering values to people, and then find a way how to get back the return, then you will be rewarded eventually. Solve the world's problem. Solve problem for people. Help other people. Value. Just create value. A doctor produces values by, you know, improving other people's health. A lawyer produces value by protecting the client's rights. You know? Yeah. The business people produce value by delivering good business service or good products. Then it is not possible that you cannot earn money. You can. But if you just want to earn money by exploiting others, exploiting the workers, the laborers, then eventually you'll find problem. You know? Eventually, sometimes the dream gets shattered. Even if you achieve something by unlawful means, eventually you will pay the price for it. But if you deliver good values and you earn also, you have a comfort, you know, by earning and whatever you have earned and whatever is achievable, sustainable. And prestige, same, huh? Prestige also, if you deliver a lot of good things for people, respect you. Yeah. But if you just force down other people, you raise up yourself by putting down other people, this kind of prestige is not sustainable. People don't respect you from the heart. You know? Like that. Heritage also same. You really deliver something beneficial for future generations, some people. Then they will be remembered for a long time. When they open up a new horizon, so to speak, for any new field of goodness, you know, then people remember such a person. They achieve something which is not achieved before. They bring up human civilization to greater heights. Such a person will pass on good heritage and will be remembered in history. But still, in the samsara, impermanent samsara, all will be forgotten. And human relationship. Basically, human relationship, just a family or man and woman relationship or whatever relationship. You know? What is the fundamental rule? Actually, very simple. Again, in the Dharma, conquer yourself, forget yourself, care about others. If you can be more selfless, and you can care about the ego and selfish desire of others, then human relationship happen. But if you are selfish, we care about ourselves and to the disadvantage of other people, exploitation of other people, then you cannot have good human relationship. Just that. Conquer your own self and protect other people's self. Don't ask other people to be selfless. No. We ask ourselves to be selfless. Then you get good human relationship. Okay, that's for the worldly aspect. Worldly successes. So you just need to know the fundamentals. Then after that, from there, you can extrapolate and find further answers and related answers to it. Then what about spiritual successes? Okay. When we look at worldly success, you can still, you want it. You have ego to want it. But it's just that you want it intelligently. Yeah? With intelligence. But you cannot run away from some kind of self, some kind of ego, some kind of attachment to life, and some kind of force that drives you round and round in the cycle of birth and death in the samsara. But spiritual successes are not like that. What do we mean by spiritual success? Spiritual success when you go for something higher than the worldly, something more lasting, more reliable in the long, long run in samsara. That kind of success, we call it spiritual success. Something that uplifts your life beyond your current worldliness, worldly achievement, worldly level. That we call spiritual successes. And in the Buddhist context, we have Uttari Manusa Dhamma. Superhuman achievements. What does it mean, superhuman? That means this kind of achievement, when you achieve, if the karma ripen, you can be reborn beyond human realm. Because this is something, the result is enjoyed by higher being. Not, what are those? Jhana. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Because these are the achievement that can fruit. When the result, the vipaka of this jhana is the respective realms. Like first jhana, the Brahma world. Second jhana, Brahma world. Third jhana, Brahma world. Fourth jhana, Brahma world. When you achieve this jhana, your mind has the potential to be reborn there. Has a potential. Provided the karma ripen in such a way. But the seed is related to that realm. Jhana. Or maybe the Arupa Jhana. Arupa Jhana basically is fourth jhana. Arupa Jhana equivalent to fourth jhana but higher. Higher in terms of the quality. In terms of the depth of concentration. So you have a boundless space, boundless consciousness, nothingness, and neither perception nor non-perception. And then you have the Magapala, path and version. Sotapati Magapa, Sotapati Mapala, Sakadagami Maga, Sakadagami Pala, Anagami Maga, Anagami Pala, Arata Maga, Arata Pala. Okay? That is superhuman achievement. These are the achievements we call irreversible achievement. Once you have achieved, you no longer fall back. Let's say once you have achieved Sotapan achievement, you cannot be a putujana, a worldly being anymore. You cannot. It's impossible to fall back. Once you have achieved Sakadagami, you cannot become Sotapan. You are Sakadagami, second stage. Similarly, Anagami and Arahant. This is a wonderful achievement. Okay? Because eventually when you reach arhanship, that is you will no more be reborn again. You will be liberated from the realms of birth and death. Arhanship. So in this aspect, in terms of liberation from the realms of birth and death, we have three types of destiny. One is if you achieve, you get a success or arahantship, you become arahant. Second time, if you achieve the Pachika Buddhahood, you become Pachika Buddha. If you achieve Buddhahood, then you become a Buddha. Three types of liberation from the realms of birth and death. Okay? So in the spiritual success in the Buddhist context, we have these three achievements. We don't call it being reborn as a Devarim, we don't consider that as achievement. It is the liberation from the realms of birth and death. Not even a Brahma. That is an achievement. So for those Brahma or Devas who have become saints, Aryas, then eventually they will achieve Arahantship from there higher and higher. What are the spiritual successes? There's one you can consider spiritual success, also you can consider as worldly success. Depends on how you look at it. That is a success in Buddha Sasana works. When we propagate the Buddha dispensation, Buddha Sasana work, like what we are doing in Dharma Earth. Yeah, something you may consider as spiritual success. If you do it with a heart, you know, with the merits, of liberation, then it can count it as spiritual success. And for another point, you can also count it as worldly success because it is not a success in your mind. Not in terms of liberation. So it is a success in terms of merits only. Okay? So it depends on how you want to classify it. But what makes a Buddha Sasana work successful? You know, you must know how to rate it first. In our context, Buddhist context, it always refers to the achievement of beings getting nearer and nearer to Four Noble Truths and eventually achieving Uttari Manasana, Majjhana and Magapala. Like that. If you don't understand this, you may consider the numbering. How many devotees have I collected? How many people have claimed themselves to be my disciples? And you think there's a success in Buddha Sasana works. Then you get mistaken. The real Buddha Sasana works. Some people believe, how many stupas I've built. Okay, not really say it is not. But eventually, it boils down to how many beings have benefit from your teaching, from your hard work. You need to know how many people, because of our hard work, from not keeping 5% to keeping 5%, not taking 3 refuges to taking 3 refuges, from not knowing how to meditate, from knowing how to meditate, from having a broken family now because of the Dharma, I know how to have a good family where everyone can grow in the Dharma. So these are the Sasana work. Eventually it boils down to the upliftment of human quality. Towards what direction? Towards liberation. Nearer and nearer to Nibbana. Nearer and nearer to peace. Nearer and nearer to purity. These are the things. So if you want to achieve spiritual success, we need to know what are spiritual success first. And then after that, we work for it. And we ask ourselves, how nearer have I, after doing this work, am I nearer to the success? Okay? So I've covered to you worldly success and spiritual success. Okay? Just now we have briefly touched about some of the fundamentals. Now we have to say a bit further about it. Okay? First, what are the goals? Now, whether it's a spiritual goal or worldly goal, how do you set your goals? You know, how do you set your goals? What kind of goals you want? What are the things, the basic consideration that you must have when you set your goals? First, your goals must be achievable. It must be a mission possible, not mission impossible. Yeah, well, nowadays when they say, I want to achieve a mission impossible, basically it must still be possible. If you're really impossible, how can you do it? When they say mission impossible means something is impossible for others, I want to make it possible for myself, yes. But if it is naturally impossible in natural laws, do you think you can achieve it? Not possible. Even as simple as you want to study for your son and then your son get good result, not possible. You know, your son must study for yourself, for themselves. So some people, they ask, Bande, please pray so that my son will pass Gaokao. Huh? I say, well, this is not possible. Your son might upgrade his intelligence in order to satisfy the exam and then pass and do it well. So first it must be achievable. Do not do something not achievable. Yeah, aspire for something not achievable is very hard. Unless some kind of miracle happens. But miracle also, any miracle that happens, it must be, it is also achievable. If it is not achievable, no miracle can happen. Miracle also has its natural laws. Just like psychic. You want to fly in the air? Yeah, possible. But make sure you practice for it and train for it. Then you can fly in the air. You know? Then after that, after you know it is achievable, then you must, the next question you should ask is, what are the courses required for it? And how much time and effort required to satisfy the courses? To fulfill the courses? Yeah. You know? For example, our Bodhisattva from Dipankara Buddha's time, when he was confirmed, given the prophecy to be a confirmed Bodhisattva, the Buddha already declared he could, no matter how hard he worked, he could only achieve Buddhahood in 4 Asankhya Kappas and 100,000 Kappas. Okay, don't ask me how long is the time. I don't know. I just know it is a long, long time. I don't bother to count how many zero behind, how many years. But it's a long, 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 long time. So, if the Bodhisattva just want to, oh, this life itself, I want to become a Buddha. Not possible. Because the causes can only be fulfilled, perfected through such a long period. So you don't have a wrong expectation. You know? Yeah. So you know the time required and ask us how much time you have. If you don't have the time, then different. You know? An effort. Okay? So these are the questions you need to ask. Of course, some people ask the wrong question. They say, well, Bante, please tell me, do you think I can become a Sotapan this life? If cannot, then I don't want to meditate. Then I tell you, if you don't meditate this life, next time you say the same thing. You know? You say the same thing because you don't have the... And for all people who practice successfully this life, successful maybe reach at least up to dependent origination or higher or Magapala, path and friction, becoming a saint. For all such people, when they look back their past life, they are not the first time, never the first time practitioner. Never. Always they have practiced Dhamma before in their previous life, and not successful there, and end up successful this life. Like that only. So if you understand this, then ask yourself. You know, if you don't practice now, you believe you don't have the time, you believe you cannot achieve, and you don't strive hard, next time you will say the same thing. But if you strive hard, if you don't finish the job in time, this merit will carry forward to your future. In future life, you may be a fast yogi. Very swift to achieve. Yeah. Then the second fundamentals what are the fundamentals? For methods. Fundamental for methods. What are the fundamentals for all kinds of methods, whether worldly success or spiritual successes? Inevitably, no matter what kind of technique you use, You cannot run away from the law of cause and effect. So what are methods? When we talk about method means cause and effect. Means I work on this. When the causes are fulfilled, the result will come. This is method. Whether it's scientific level, spiritual level, you cannot avoid this. It is always like that. So, don't try to outsmart the law of cause and effect. We don't try to do that. Let's be faithful and work on the causes correctly. Then we have a chance to achieve success. We don't say sure, we say have a chance. Because from cause to effect, there are so many conditions in between. And then another thing is you need to recognize internal and external conditions. Sometimes we need external helps. But more often than not, it is we need the work on the internal, our strength, our Dharma strength, our own resources. Okay? So you have to look at the examples of successes. I think the greatest success is Buddhahood. So look at how they achieve that. Greatest success, so hard they can achieve. Gautama Buddha, all the past Buddhas, all the great disciples, they always start with aspirations. Having aspiration, pure aspiration for a goal. Then after that, they work hard to fulfill all the relevant, required conditions. And once they fulfill this, then eventually they become a Buddha or great disciples. So similarly for ourselves, let's be fair to ourselves and don't be demanding in the wrong way. We work, we know what we need to fulfill and work hard for it. So have an aspiration that is achievable and work on those conditions, supporting and contributing, conducive to your aspiration. Okay? So this is the fundamentals. So if you, everything you work, you ask the fundamental questions and look for the fundamentals, you have increased your chances for success. Whether it's worldly or spiritual, it doesn't matter. As long as the signs for success are satisfied, you will be successful. Okay? And with that, I wish all of you successful in all your noble wishes. Or putting it another way, may all your noble wishes be in accordance to Dhamma, to nature laws, and may you fulfill all the necessary conditions for your success and eventually come to realize the success that you aspire for. Okay? Okay, 45 minutes, we stop. So, I hope all this will be helpful. Recapitulate, just the last thing. Always ask yourself, what is the nature law involved in this success that I want to achieve? What are the conditions required for this success? Not only karma, merits, and parami. The condition can be cement, steel, or anything. Depends on what you want, what you mean by success. Okay? So, I hope everyone be fair to yourself and work hard for our goal. So, if you aspire for first jhana, aspire for magapala, work hard for it. Study and learn the laws and the fundamentals for it and work accordingly. Then if you fulfill the right causes, you achieve the right result. Okay?
Pante, we just received a question in the chat room.
Okay.
Short question. Pante, may I ask more about jhana?
You ask more?
The question is, may I ask more about jhana? That's all.
Oh, you ask more about jhana. Okay, you can ask. What do you want to know about jhana?
Pante, that is exactly the questions.
Oh, okay, jhana is a level of concentration, a level of concentration which empowers the mind to penetrate nature that cannot be seen and known by the ordinary mind without jhana. So if we empower our mind one step further, that enable us to cultivate wisdom, to see beyond the superficial reality, so that our understanding about nature will be better. So jhana is a foundation for vipassana training. It's very helpful, very useful. And it works, it has a nature of unifying. When the mind is focused and unified on one unchanging object, that bring out the great potential of the mind, and then and especially the light of wisdom. And with that light of wisdom, we penetrate nature, like just like this cup. Okay, now you look at this cup, it's hard things, you know. But if you have to cultivate your mind, unify your mind, focus like on the breath, you focus so well until you can even see the color of your breath, you know. And then you can see the light. And then using the light, you can shine on this cup. And then you can see that this cup is not as stable as you see. It is moment to moment, every small split of second, they are arising and passing with extreme fast speed. And because of that understanding, it gives you a kind of it produces a purifying effect in the mind. And because of the purifying effect on the mind can be free from causes of suffering, greed, anger, delusion. Of course, level by level. Okay? So, this jhana is a kind of mental achievement achieved through our practice of concentration. When we practice concentration, not only we achieve concentration, we achieve a lot of good qualities in the mind, such as mindfulness, energy, tranquility, etc. Okay? And this kind of mind quality has the power to give us peace, happiness, and the penetrative power to nature. So, this is jhana. If you understand, that's it. It gives you a lot of happiness without relying on externalities. Okay? Okay, that's all. Huh? If you still want to know what is jhana, come and meditate until you achieve jhana yourself. Just like, you know, I can talk a lot about honey, but you can only know honey when you give yourself a chance to taste it. Okay?
Thank you, Bendy. Can I conclude what you said just now? Concentration, that's jhana. If you focus on one object, what about, if I may ask, maybe this is a bit long-winded. If I may ask, if we do focus on our body in the sense that part by part, piece by piece, something like, observing our sensations. So this will not be jhana. So this will not lead to jhana. Am I right to say that? But in such, which maybe we call this vipassana, it leads to wisdom. I'm not sure my understanding is correct.
You can observe your bodily sensation. Yeah, you can observe. But you can observe it, if you observe it with feeling, then you are using the body door. If you use a body door, my process, then no matter how well you know it, you cannot know it up to the ultimate reality level. If you want to know it up to the ultimate reality's level, you need to use the mind or thought process. And the mind or thought, only mind or thought process can penetrate deep enough into the ultimate realities. So, let's say you are a person who have a very good potential, jhana potential in the past. Then it is possible without specially training for jhana, because you don't use jhana to see ultimate realities. When we see ultimate reality, you always emerge from jhana using excess concentration power to see ultimate reality. Because jhana's object is not moving. and bodily sensation, they are changing all the time. So you don't use jhana to see ultimate realities. You have to emerge from the jhana. So let's say you are someone who have achieved good jhana, maybe just immediate past lives, you know. And then you are reborn with a very sharp mind. Then even though you don't train for jhana, it is possible that some of my students report to me, light is so natural in them. They don't even train to get light, but they just have light all the time. You know, they don't train for it, also they have the light. So such people, if you tell them to direct their mind to sensation, it is possible, you know, they can practice vipassana without jhana. Excess concentration also possible. But they always have light of wisdom. Because it is the light of wisdom, the mind power that can penetrate ultimate realities. But let's say you are just a mediocre yogi. Okay, ordinary. You don't have such a high potential. And when you feel the sensation, you are feeling it not with the mind, but with your body consciousness. Then it is unlikely that no matter how much nature you see, it is unlikely you can penetrate into ultimate realities such as, you know, one example, okay, our eye. Inside our eye, yeah, we have this, the kalapas that perceive color, that make us see things, that receive the light, sensitive to light, responsive to light. And with the combination of our eye consciousness, we see light and we see object. Okay? And this, the eye transparent element is the ultimate reality. Okay? So, but using the bodily feeling, you cannot see this ultimate reality. Why we need to see this ultimate reality? This is to break down compactness. This is a long, you need to go through the theory of vipassana. Okay? You can check up the Visuddhimagga. We can give a full talk on this topic. So I just say break down compactness. In order to break down compactness so that the anicca, dukkha, anatta, the level that you see will be the impermanent suffering and non-self will be very thorough. So thorough that all illusion has no footing to stand on. The illusion of I has no more footing to continue. Okay? So, if you use a body consciousness to feel, you cannot come to this level. It is only the mind thought process. And that level, if you practice jhana, it's easier. If you don't practice jhana, possible also, provided you have a light of wisdom, and you shine, and you practice systematically four elements, meditation, and break through all the kalapas, subatomic particles, and it can help you to see the thought process, and can help you to see dependent origination, what were your past causes that produce your life like this, and then what cause will produce, present cause will produce future effect. So all these cause and effect of relationship we call dependent origination. And to remove the doubt about rebirth, to remove the doubt about cause and effect, so that you no longer rely on belief to know rebirth and cause and effect and the power of karma. You directly know yourself. So such a level of vipassana training as prescribed in Visuddhimagga, the path of purification, as prescribed in the practice that help us to see Abhidhamma and make Abhidhamma no more a theoretical knowledge and make it a experiential knowledge. These are very important for Vipassana. Okay? So, if you want to practice like that, we don't rule out the possibility of someone who have a high potential brought forward from past life. We don't rule out such possibility. But if you don't belong to such a person, then you need to practice deep concentration to do that. Okay? So, what is our yardstick and how do we know who can do, who cannot do? Very simple. We just make you train for seeing ultimate realities. If you can see, okay, fine. That's enough. That means your mind power is enough to see ultimate realities. But if you cannot see, that means you continue to never cultivate your concentration until you can see. That's it. So whether it is vipassana or samatha vipassana, the vipassana level is the same. The vipassana level, that the ultimate reality that you need to see, you need to penetrate, are the same. Just like that. So that's how we understand samatha vipassana. We are not judging other practices. We are just saying this is what we understand as a vipassana training, and then it is necessary to have good concentration. Need not be jhana, but jhana is very, very helpful. Because after you enter jhana, no doubt you don't use jhana to practice vipassana. But you use jhana, you emerge from jhana, having the residual impact of jhana power, your vipassana will be easy, because that power emerging from jhana, the excess concentration is very powerful, and that helps you to penetrate ultimate realities. Okay? So, have I answered your question?
Yep. Out of my expectation. Thank you very much, Pante. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Okay. Any more? Okay, so if that's, we share my answer. Idang me punyang asawa kaya wahang hutu. Idang me punyang nibana sa pachayo hutu. Mama punya bagang sabba satanang bajemi. Te sabe me samang punya bagang labantu. Sadu, sadu, sadu.